Back here on Downtown, it's 4:30 Tuesday afternoon. That means basketball time. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us. John, here's my theory, okay? 15 losses all this season for the Celtics. And so that means that all the frustrations that people would have spread out normally over, 25, 30 losses, they've got to let them out. So we see twice as much concern when they lose a rare game, and especially if they blow a lead like last night.
So it's like each win shakes up a soda bottle, and the loss is twisting the cap.
That is exactly it. Yes, a perfect analogy.
Okay, that works for me. Yeah, I mean, there might be something to that, because a loss like last night, which I understand, frustrating. I'm not even talking about the lead that they lost. It's how they played down the stretch for me. But yeah, it's the people who doubt, the people who think Joe Mazzulla is not a great coach and who doubt Tatum and Brown and all of that stuff, that's like their one opportunity to be like, see, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, you're right. They're very precious few opportunities for the haters to really put their hate out on full display.
Now, it's not to say there's not some level of concern, and you wrote about it, and I thought it was a very interesting analysis, that everybody slows the pace down in the fourth quarter. That's pretty common, but sometimes, and the Celtics do this, sometimes you go too far.
Yeah, and I used the Jason Tatum 8-second violation with about 8 minutes or so to go. The Hawks had just taken a lead. The Celtics, were, I don't want to say reeling, but they're in a position now with 8 minutes. There's plenty of time to settle down, get something, a good shot, score some baskets, and take control of this game back. And Tatum just casually walks the ball up the floor and takes the 8-second violation, which that to me was kind of infuriating. The Celtics slow the game down more than any team in the NBA when we compare first quarter to the fourth quarter. And that I think is the problem. That's my big takeaway from last night. I don't care that they took their foot off the gas. It's March. It's wrapped. The thing's wrapped up. That's going to happen. I don't even care that it ended up in a loss, because the Hawks shot an outrageously good percentage in the fourth quarter. And the Celtics couldn't hit a thing. So, okay, that happens too. But when they grind everything to a halt, they take away good options because they're starting their offense with 7, 8, 9 seconds on the shot clock, that's where they become predictable. That's when they become easy to defend. And I think that's where they have their biggest issue overall, because they're going to face these games here and there in the course of the playoffs. And if you can't execute down the stretch and you can't run an offense with a little bit of pace to it, so you can throw some misdirection in there, so you can get a decoy action if Tatum's going to be the scorer, then you have Jaylen Brown as a decoy and vice versa. You can run some things that occupy the defense, that have somebody turning their heads. So when Tatum does isolate, he's doing so against a confused defense rather than a set.
Do you think that there's an awareness among the team that this is an occasional issue?
So, honestly, I find it hard to believe that they don't know. But I think what they're a little bit blinded by is their effort to avoid this situation. And it's a valid effort to say, like Joe Mazzulla will always talk about, got to control the margins. One of the big problems was the offensive rebounds down the stretch. Control those. Control the free throws, because they gave up a couple of cheap fouls down the stretch. Control some of the other little things that you can, the turnovers, and you won't be in that situation. And that's valid. However, what they're avoiding here is the actual issue that when they do get into these situations, they struggle to get out of them. And so I understand you want to prevent the runs from happening, but you're not always going to. And I'm not, if there's one spot for the Celtics that I'm not entirely confident, it's that they are, that they have enough focus on, okay, we're in this spot. We're sinking. How do we stay afloat? They want to figure out how to avoid going in the water. And I'm trying to say, you're already in the water. How do you survive the water and get to shore? And that's the problem, that I'm not 100% sure that they're either completely focused on or completely set on how they're going to, you know, navigate that.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. The other problem that we saw in the postseason last year, and we've got 10 games left to go in the regular season, and it is all wrapped up. We can look ahead, certainly. Do they have an awareness that, one of the things they would probably be best to avoid is prolonging series more than they have to in the postseason?
Well, it's part of the same conversation, because if they can avoid these situations, or if they can navigate these situations, then they will avoid prolonging these series, right? So that's why I'm so focused on this. It's, if you've got, let's just say they draw the Hawks again and they're up 2-1 or 3-1, and you can put this thing away in five. Well, the Hawks are going to be desperate, or whichever team they play is going to be desperate. They don't want to go home. They want to make some noise. They want to make history. So they're going to be playing with a level of adrenaline and focus that is, it's going to be hard to match. So you'll give up a run. But beyond the how do you avoid giving up the run, it's how do you get out of it once you're in it? That's the problem. And if they can figure that part out, then they can avoid prolonging the series, because when first-round opponent X makes their run in a closeout game, the Celtics would be prepared to put that team away rather than blowing it and then say, oh, we'll just get them the next game and winning that next game by like 15, because they're good at winning games by a bunch, by double digits. They're not good by winning games by single digits. So that's that step that they have to take.
They're obviously a whole lot better than everybody else, certainly in the East. But as you look down there in the standings at that 7, 8, 9, even 10 range, is there one potential first-round matchup that they would prefer to avoid?
Well, I mean, if Philly drops there and gets into the play-in and Embiid is back, that's probably a tough matchup that you want to avoid. It's hard to say, because, you know, Indy is in that conversation, because we've seen how the Celtics have had problems with Indy. Mm. But Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been the same since his injury. So there's a reason why Indy has fallen to that level. If you remember, Indy was up at the top of the standings for a while. So there are teams, you know, Miami is a team that brings some level of concern, but they're hurt and they're not the same. So that's just maybe a little bit PTSD kicking in. I think the biggest matchup issue might be Philly in that spot, because obviously Embiid is, if he's back and he's healthy, he can be, he's a tough cover for the Celtics.
And what do you think we'll see when they take on the Hawks again on Thursday?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see them blow another 30-point lead, that's for sure. if they get up by 30, I think there's going to be a little bit of a message that they're going to want to send at that point. So if they get up by 30, I wouldn't be surprised if this is another one of those 50-point wins, which will be great. And there will be a lot of, you know, see, this is what happens when we actually take it seriously. But it does not allay any of my fears or concerns about that late fourth quarter crunch time. But I still think that they're gonna want to come back, do what they did in the first half, and then carry that over into the second half and put this thing away.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast, making sense of it all for us. As always, John, we thank you. We'll check in with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
You got it. John Corrales with us here on Downtown.